I wanted to know if you could go into just a bit more detail about the transactions per second that you've been able to pull off. I mean, 25,000, that's pretty incredible. I actually had to double check that twice when my colleague sent me the press release.
Yeah, well, actually, that we think is just the starting point. We think that was that benchmark test was run on a single i7 processor. Well, I'll show you.
Okay.
It was run on a computer like this, i7 processor, 16 gigs of RAM, and I think it probably had a 1 terabyte SSD or 240 gig SSD. Costs about $900. And it ran, it's 25,000 transactions a second, and that's only on one thread. Now, if you remember, there are four cores and eight threads in an i7 processor. Now, you have to keep in mind, this is a private blockchain. So it's not a blockchain that is out, distributed and everyone gets to run a little piece of it and all that. There are a number of factors. That's one of them. There are a lot of other things that you have to go through the blockchain. We started out with the Litecoin Bitcoin code base, and that was about 2 years ago. And found a bunch of security problems, and then also looked at it from the point of view of performance. Because, I mean, you can see right now the issue that Bitcoin's going to have is, and we love Bitcoin, we think it's great technology, but the issue that it's going to have is it's going to have scaling problems, and you've got a governance problem right now, which is, it's like people are playing Fenders with somebody's money. I mean, that's all you can say. I'm hoping that people wake up and just realize and not be selfish about things and just say, well, let's do something for the good of the community and do the right thing. Because at some point, Bitcoin's going to have to really, they're going to have to scale, because this 25,000 transactions a second includes 2 second final settlement. So it's not like you have to wait for the initial confirmation for 10 minutes for Bitcoin and then for another hour for it to settle. 2 seconds for the whole process.
Wow.
So it's, you get your coin and 2 seconds later you can send it on to somebody. That's really cool. And, when people, I think what's going to happen is once people start to see this with fiat currencies, there are benefits to Bitcoin, of course, too. I'm not going to say anything bad about Bitcoin. But when you see how fast things can be, people will immediately say, well, wow, why isn't it as fast as this? So we're hoping that it inspires people with the different currencies to start looking at the performance, because part of the reason why people are not using the technology is quite simply because it doesn't scale. I mean, people look at it, they'll bring it in for a test, and they'll look at it and they'll say, wow, yeah, it's pretty cool. It does a lot of these things. There are some weaknesses to it. There are things that they don't like. But the real problem is, if you've got a giant bank, let's say you're running the ACH network in the US. Well, they did 5 billion transactions last quarter, trillions of dollars. And so, and it works. I mean, it's slow. It takes about, what, 2 or 3 days before you get final settlement, day in and day out, right? But how can you take something like that and put it on a blockchain if you can't do, I mean, right now, if you think about it, if you do it over an 8-hour day, they're processing the equivalent of around 3,000 transactions a second. So you're going to have to be able to start talking to people, you need 25 to 50,000 transactions a second as your opening bid. And keep in mind, this is the blockchain itself, just being able to just grind the transactions through it. There are a number of other, the blockchain in our system is actually only between 5 and 10% of the code base. So there's a whole bunch of other stuff. The goal is, of course, you push as much of it out to the edge of the net as possible, to the wallet. Because when you look at this, here's my iPhone, right? It's an iPhone 6 Plus. That thing has 8 cores. I mean, it's more powerful than the $250,000 servers I used to buy 15 years ago. And it's in the palm of your hand. I mean, this is why you can generate these very strong and powerful keys. You combine that with the network. You combine that with people now being able to, to understand this kind of concept. And all of a sudden, people are going to be, wow, why do I need to go to an ATM? I don't need an ATM anymore. Why can't I just send money to my friend in, you know, Peru or in Japan or whatever? And I want it to go to them instantly, and I don't want to pay a fortune. You know, when you look at the banking system, the way it's configured today, the payment rails in the banking system today, they work. And let's face it, trillions of dollars move through the banking system. So it's you've got something that works. The problem is it's just too slow. And we're on the Fed Reserve Faster Payment Task Force, and so that's one of our objectives is to help the banking system to do things faster, to give consumers more choices, to let consumers, you know, use their money in new and innovative ways for spending and sharing and sending and all this other kind of thing, and to do it very, very efficiently. So that's why we've been working on this. We've been working on it for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it's been really exciting. I mean, part of it is that you know, you don't get the chance to change the payment rails, you know, but every maybe 50 years, right? Yeah. I mean, you went from gold bars to wires, you know, back in the 50s, basically. And, you know, and here we are, maybe up to the 70s, you had some innovation. You had the card networks come in and all those things. And now here we are today. So the real question is, you know, the innovation. This is, I've just been talking about the fiat currencies, but there are whole other classes of currencies that will exist that are going to be, I think, really exciting for people. First, you've got loyalty, and these are things where you can incent people and you can help to reinforce a network. If you go to our website, you know, get a free account, save.cash, and you can tell all your readers to do this. You can get a free account, get some coins. Mm-hmm. Go tell your friends to get an account, and then just get on the phone and send tokens back and forth to each other. And you'll see what two-second settlement is like. And it's kind of like the difference between, you know, riding on a jet plane compared to a moped. It's really astounding. I mean, and people like fast. I mean, hey, who wouldn't want to ride in the Ferrari, right? You don't want to be in a horse and buggy. You want to be in a Ferrari.
Yeah, of course.
And when you send an ACH, you really feel like you're in that horse and buggy a little bit. I mean, it's kind of slow. Yeah. And it works. And you've got the bank who you can trust usually, you know, backing that thing. Banks are generally pretty good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've got all the issues. I mean, you have a lot of other issues too, which is, for example, there are a lot of, and these are people who, by choice or design, they either can't get a bank account. You know, there are millions of people who've been in jail in the U.S. I mean, the U.S. jails more people than just about any place in the world.
Yeah.
Can those people get a bank account? No, it's very difficult for someone to get a bank account. So what do they have to do? Well, they got to pay Western Union. If you want to send $100 to Mexico to your relatives or friends, it's $8. You want to send $100 from California to New York with Western Union, it's $12. It's even more expensive to go to New York than it is to go to Mexico. And you know, when I heard that, I was kind of shocked about that. I'm like, wow, there's something wrong about this when you charge that much to a poor person to help them use their money. So, you know, that's kind of our, you know, and it's not just Western Union's fault. I'm not saying any bad here about Western Union. I'm just saying that's just the system and the way it is. So I'm really hopeful that, you know, we're going to be able to give people choices.
You know, one thing that I also wanted to ask, you know, how has the reception been since the press release did come out last week? You know, what has the reception been like from other members in the community?
It's been very good. It's been very positive. I mean, I think some people are like, well, how did they do that? I mean, we got a few of those, and we got a few of the, you know, the banks, you know, they're looking at this seriously now. And, you know, we're in discussions. We're under non-disclosure with a bunch of big companies and big banks. But, you know, I think really what it comes down to is they're looking at the capability of being able to do it. And really what's going to happen is now we're now being invited into conversations that we were not being invited into before, or people frankly just didn't hear about us because we've been kind of working in obscurity for the last 2 years. So now, you know, we're pushing this news out there and showing people what we can do. You can go to the website. You can actually see a demo with Unity. The advantage of that, of course, it's a loyalty token, so you don't need You don't need a KYC. You don't need, there's no AML because it has no value. But you think about Unity. When you have a token that can process that fast and in that kind of volume, now all of a sudden it's practical to do things like put a digital stamp of like one Unity token, which, you know, could be worth the thousands of a penny, put it on an email, and there's your stamp. And it's digital, so you know where it came from. And what it does is if I want to send an email to Yahoo, I just throw a thousandth of a penny on it. And guess what? Anything that comes from my account is going to go through. And they're going to be able to say, this is spam and this is not spam. Mm-hmm. And the person who receives it is going to get the token back. So, you know, they get 1,000 emails, they send 1,000 emails, they're net zero. Yeah. So they haven't, it hasn't cost them a penny. It hasn't cost them anything. And it's this kind of social good that we think is going to come from a product like this. So that's the goal. That's really the goal with Unity. And that's, you know, I think that's the next thing that people are going to start looking at is, you know, our kind of thinking about this stuff is a little different. So I think we're going to get a lot more, we're seeing a lot more play. A lot of people are looking at this and saying, oh, this is kind of an interesting concept. You know, our concept is, you know, what if a blockchain costs $49? Now think about that. What if a blockchain costs $49? And what kind of things can you do with the blockchain? What if you had an application and you wanted to just do something with it and you wanted some tokens to go play with, to go and build an ecosystem around your application? Mm-hmm. And by the way, those tokens could be compatible with a lot of other things. Well, that's kind of the concept behind Unity. So it's really, you know, we're not, our goal isn't to, you know, try and, you know, keep 10% of the coins for ourselves and then hope the price goes up. We're actually not going to keep any coins for ourselves. We're you know, we'll have some announcements about that in the future, but we don't think that's right. We think that the profit model should not be on the coins, and in fact, there are legal questions about that too. But I think the main thing is that if we build an ecosystem and everyone can find a way to benefit and profit from this. If you contribute something to it, you should get something back out. It's just really that simple. And if someone else can come in, it's just following gain and loss. If you gain something, you're going to lose. If you lose, you're going to gain. That's how it should work.